Blog Talk Radio.
And hello there. You're now listening live to me right now. This is your host, Benjamin Solomon, here to listen to you, to give you the truth and nothing but the truth. Anyway, this is a continuation of last night's episode because what happened was, I opened up the chat room. Because what happened was, I overslept last night. When I was napping, I overslept. So what happened last night was I called him late. But nevertheless, just so you know, the chat room is opening up. So then I'm about to make the chat room announcement. As soon as I see it up on my computer, as soon as I see it up on my laptop, I'm gonna make the new. Okay, let's see. Just so people know, I'm waiting for. Yes, this is going. I'm gonna try to reload the page here. So as this goes on, Skin, come on. Yeah, these computers can be so slow sometimes, but okay. Now I'm going to make the chat announcement. The chat room is now open. So if you're listening live to me right now on your computer from the episode page, if you want to be in the chat room after the one simple thing, reload the page. And once you reload the page, in the chat room with the best show here on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, now I got that out. This is an interesting episode I want to talk about. I want to talk about this phenomenon in the UK because I've been talking about political correctness. This is part, I think this is part of a wider issue that the world faces, namely the threat of Islamofascism, i.e. radical Islam, and the attempt by our leaders and our traitor leftist establishment to appease radical Islam, which is the biggest threat the free world faces. Now, in the UK, for years, there have been, 11 to 14-year-old girls have been kidnapped, molested, and raped by Muslim men who come from countries like Pakistan. And whenever these Muslim men get caught for the crime they commit, whenever that happens, the European countries like the UK tend to treat the rapists with kid gloves. Because why? Because they're Muslim, because of their religious background / ethnicity, because they're Muslims from Pakistan or the Muslim countries, and so you know the police and the establishment over there does not want to be called Islamophobic. This has been going on for years. And this is why I think political correctness has gone way too far. And the fact of the matter that people don't see it this way, once people turn a blind eye while girls who are like 11 to 14 get raped, I think that goes way beyond too far. And I think it's not even debatable. It seems to be even debatable. In fact, it went way past seeming to be debatable. That's what I strongly believe and strongly know to be true. Now, the problem is we're living with moral relativism. We have moral relativism confusing us. We see the left confusing us with this moral relativist crap. This whole idea that your morals versus their morals and it's all equal, there's no absolute morality, and, oh, you know, it's their values, it's their way of life. You know, well, let's look at it this way. The point I want to make is this. As a saying, once someone else is right, your rights end when someone else is right begins. And the fact of the matter is, there is an absolute moral code. I'm not going to get into that for the show, but I am going to be talking about a phenomenon, a problematic phenomenon. Now, as I said before, we see girls in the UK. This is not even in the Muslim world. This is not even in third world countries. This is in the supposedly more civilized West. In the Western democracy, this is happening. Muslim men, again, of course, not all Muslim men, but many, have been raping, have been kidnapping, molesting, and raping girls. They've been kidnapping, molesting, and raping young girls. And a woman who actually tried to bring awareness about to the police was told that she needed sensitivity training. Outrageous. It's beyond outrageous. It's beyond outrageous. Muslim men in Europe, not all of them, but many of them, are not the subhuman scum and the Muslim community there. They're number one. Of course, not everybody does it. But as a community, their number one contribution seems to be rape and sexual assault and terrorism and radicalism. You see, for instance, that when these radical Muslims attack Jews, the far left is in the politically correct establishment over there. You know, they tend to blame it on Israel and Israel's so-called occupation. But when it comes to them attacking Europeans, the left and the politically correct people are having a hard time among their people in rationalizing and defending radical Islamic aggression. Because we see that right now, this issue is becoming more out there, but this problem is going to continue if people don't speak up. If people just want to try to be popular and not speak out, this problem is going to continue. Girls who are like 11 to 14 will continue to be raped by these radical Muslim so-called men if people don't speak out and they don't address this problem, namely the problem that radical Islam is a threat and radical Muslims have been bullying the West for decades and decades and decades. We have the politically correct left has been shielding the radical Muslims and helping the radical Muslims to bully us while they continue to assault our civilization, while they continue to assault Western civilization, while they continue to threaten Western civilization. Us in the West, I'm speaking as a Westerner now, we, us in the West, have been bullied to keep quiet about it because people right now are too afraid of being called bigots, racists, and Islamophobes. The problem right now is we live in an age of selfishness. We live in an age right now where people think that whatever is popular is right. Whatever is popular is right. Plenty of times people will say, you know, I heard this argument, well, most people don't agree with you. Most people don't agree with you. Oh, what if most people don't agree with me? It matters about what's right, not about what the majority says. See, the same thing with Israel. Israel gets told the same thing. Most people don't agree with you. Most people don't agree that you shouldn't be back to the suicidal 1967 borders. Most people don't agree with that. And you look at, like, Israel, another perfect example of this politically correct bullying. Because you see, for instance, you know, most American Jews don't really care about Israel. I mean, when I say most American Jews, I mean namely the non-Orthodox Jews. I mean, not all non-Orthodox Jews, but the majority of non-Orthodox Jews are far leftists who don't care about Israel. You notice that the non-Orthodox rabbinical schools, for instance, they see more non-Orthodox rabbinical students feel alienated from Israel. They feel alienated from Israel. Why is that? Because their religion is not Judaism. Their religion has nothing to do with the Torah. Their religion is leftism. And the left is more hostile to Israel than the right. And yet they worship every left-wing cause out there. They worship abortion. They worship homosexuality. They want to have God removed from the public square. These so-called rabbinical students want to have God removed from the public square. they range at their so-called religious right. One good blog, if you want to hear a good blog talking about this, here's one good blog I recommend. Go to my blog, nonorthodoxjudaismwatch.blogspot.com. Go to that blog, and that blog I cover the issues. I explain how non-Orthodox Judaism, how the fallout of non-Orthodox Judaism really is far away from what Judaism actually is. I mean, you see, and I'm going to do a show about this tomorrow as to why I think Reform Judaism is an apostate religion. It's an apostate religion where they worship abortion and homosexuality, and they want to have God removed from the public square. Really, it's really all about being a leftist. You know, they get rid of all the quote unquote narrow ritual and all this stuff, and they really want to get to what they see as the heart of the Torah, which is being a leftist, because that's supposedly more compassionate and stuff like that. You know, I mean, never mind, for instance, that the Torah calls homosexuality an abomination. They'll support homosexuality and gay marriage. Never mind, for instance, that abortion, when it's not needed to save the woman's life, is actually considered to be murder according to the Torah, especially if it's from the 40th day after conception. Abortion, when it's not needed for pekuach nefesh, when it's not needed to save a woman's life, is actually murder, especially if it's from the 40th day post-conception. I mean, the first 40 days, it's a little bit, and you can say it's debatable, but on whether an abortion during the first 40 days is murder, you can say that's debatable. I mean, you can say that because first 40 days, it's still developing, but at the 40th day, the fetus becomes a human life. And I think Mishnah from Masechet Nida actually states that if a woman miscarries from the 40th day, she'd still be tamei, ritually impure, and she still have to immerse in the mikvah as if she gave birth. The 40th day. I know you can say, well, there are some Orthodox rabbis or some Orthodox Jews who may be more liberal on abortion, but, you know, and I'll confess, yes, I'm more biased towards the more machmir, stringent opinion, which I think is the most sound opinion halakhically. In my view, I'm not a rabbi, so I have no power to make any halakhic rulings. If you expect halakhic rulings from this show, you've gone to the wrong place, because I'm not a rabbi, so I don't have that power. But if you wonder what you think is correct halakhically, go ask your rabbi. Don't ask me. I'll give you my viewpoint. My viewpoint on this is on the issue of abortion is, I think that abortion, when it's not needed to save the woman's life, is murder. In fact, actually, the Talmud, Masechet Sanhedrin, Tractate 157b of the Talmud, quotes Rabbi Ishmael as saying that abortion is murder. Rabbi Ishmael, he quoted a pasuk, a verse from Bereishit, Genesis 9:6, which states, "Shafek dam ha'adam ba'adam dam yeshafek. Salam alokim asa ha'adam. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed." I think maybe I should wish Yeshafek and Dom, whatever. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man's blood shall his blood be shed. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man that fell on Elohim in his image. And Rabbi Ishmael interprets that to even refer to the murder, to the killing of a fetus. So I know I'm on a tangent, but the point is, this argument of my body, my choice for abortion, as I said it in my wonderful blog, Non-Orthodox Judaism Watch, it's actually a leftist argument, not a Jewish argument. And of course, you know, I one time read an article on like a reformed, or like I think it was on rj.org or so, like from You know, it was from a reform. It was from a mainstream reform Jewish blog. I read a ridiculous article by, you know, that is you know, there's an image right above the article of like, basically of like abortion saying it's my body, my choice, whatnot. You know, and it's this woman who works, basically works this reform Jewish woman, this reform Jewish young woman who works with the abortion industry, basically saying how. Basically lamenting all the any abortion restriction out there, and then saying how it's really interfering with women's rights. You know, it's a pretty disgusting article, I have to say. But Reform Judaism is a pagan religion. It's not real Judaism. It's a pagan religion. Even Messianic Judaism is closer to Torah than Reform Judaism is, if you want my honest viewpoint. But reform, the far left of the reform movement and the mainstream non-Orthodox movement in America, which is very left-wing, they worship every left-wing cause out there. They worship abortion on demand. They worship same-sex marriage. They're in the forefront of wanting God removed from the public square. I remember seeing a movie about, like, you know, and there was a movie, you know, about, like, there was this teacher who wanted to do the Lord's Prayer, and then this kid said, I think I'm Jewish. Now, it's sad. It's really sad, in my view. And I'm on a tangent. I'm off topic. Well, let me just finish this. It's sad, really, how from Har Sinai, the Jewish people were tasked with being in the forefront and bringing the Shekhinah, God's presence, down to earth. You see, we Jews were supposed to be models for what God wants. We're supposed to be promoting godliness and promoting the bringing down of the Shekhinah. But now when it comes to the issue of school prayer in public schools, never mind that they have that they actually have interdenominational school prayer in public schools. But you see that thanks to the non-Orthodox Jewish majority in America, well, they're not the majority of the American population, but they're the majority of Jews. The majority of Jews in America are non-Orthodox people who worship every left-wing cause out there. And thanks to them, basically being Jewish is now basically seen as being associated with wanting to remove God from the public square. Thanks to them. I mean, they're bringing spiritual destruction upon Judaism. You know, I mean, assimilation for the Jewish people, assimilation is worse than the Holocaust. Because, you see, way more than 6 million Jews are being assimilated. Look at, and you know, I mean, that's what's going on right now. Anyway, the point I want to make is, This issue in the UK, I think, is part of an issue of political correctness run amok. And this is like the worst aspects of it because, again, 11 to 14-year-old girls being raped. I can't shake my head enough. It's really so horrible. I mean, you know, we get told how the UK is an example of there being, and Europe being an example of less violence where they have gun control. You know, I think the families of these girls need to have guns to protect themselves from these radical Muslim rapists who come and kidnap girls and rape girls. I mean, this is what I think. Anybody who rapes a little girl or a girl who from like 11 to 14 or younger, anybody who rapes any girl from that age, like from 11 to 14 or younger, I think deserves to be taken out and shot. I mean, that's my viewpoint. But we are living in such a politically correct age. We want to appease evil. And one of the arguments is, they'll quote the Torah. These leftists, these secular liberals will quote the Torah when it suits them. They'll say, well, you know, the Ten Commandments say don't kill. No, the Ten Commandments say don't murder. But you want to know what? But the Torah, in certain cases, demands Torah, in certain cases, demands the death penalty. And the Hello Dixie Bandit, the Torah, in certain cases, actually demands the death penalty. For instance, you know, the Torah commands the Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, to remove evil from their midst. And in certain cases, as I said, the Torah mandates a death penalty. Even for Jews who violate the Sabbath, the penalty is death. Now, of course, in order for the death penalty to be carried out for Jews who violate the Sabbath, this is according to the Torah, and I know it contradicts it's problematic for Western democratic values. But in order for the death penalty to be carried out for Jews who violate the Sabbath, there have to be two witnesses and a warning. The Jew has to be warned that if you do this, you're liable to the death penalty, and two witnesses to confirm it, and the witness's testimony has to be exact to the last detail. But, you know, but this idea that the Torah and the Bible are anti-death penalty is beyond absurd. The Torah, this is, you know, Pasuk Reishit 9:6, Genesis 9:6, you know, and I sort of, I'm going to read the, I have it right in front of me. When I was quoting the Hebrew, I sort of was Damo, not Dom, for like the second stuff, you know, so I just got like a little technicality, a little mixed up. This is Pasuk verse Reishit Genesis 6. And this is what the Torah says about the death penalty for murderers. And bear in mind, this is Noahide law. This is when this was before the time of Har Sinai. This was when the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, the seven laws of Noah, were given to Noah and his descendants, to Noah and his descendants, and then they were reaffirmed as the basic moral code for Gentiles, non-Jews, that the Torah was given to b'nei Israel, the children of Israel. Now, this is what the Torah says about the death penalty for murderers. Shafek dam ha'adam, ha'adam damo yeshafek. He betzalom Elohim asa et ha'adam. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man's child's blood be shed. For the image of God, for God created man in His image, betzalom Elohim in His image, in God's image. And I already explained before how this pasuk actually refers even to abortion, according to Rabbi Yishmael from the second tractate Sanhedrin 57b. This verse, abortion is actually included in this verse. The Shelo Mitzvot B'nei Noach bans abortion as murder. Abortion is banned in the category of murder. But, you know, again, I'm going on a tangent. I already explained about that, you know. Here at the Shelo Mitzvot B'nei Noach says that abortion is murder. Abortion, when it's not needed to save a woman's life, is murder. And there's nothing that... There is nothing that's asur, prohibited to a non-Jew, that's mutar, permitted to a Jew. There's nothing. The Jewish people from Har Sinai are to be held to a higher, not a lower standard, for simply, especially from the 40th day after conception, abortion, according to the Torah, when it's not needed to save the woman's life, is murder. Now, returning back to the issue at hand, because I know I went off on a tangent, but this idea that the Torah is against the death penalty because the Ten Commandments says don't murder. It didn't say that don't kill. It says don't murder. But the but this whole idea, basically, that therefore, that because of that, it goes against the Ten Commandments to have a death penalty for violent criminals. No, the Torah. I mean, that's cherry picking. The Torah. I mean, you want to talk about like what the Torah says. You want to talk about the source. That same source that brought out the Ten Commandments, which, by the way, were given specifically to Israel, not to the world. I mean, there's some parts of the Ten Commandments that were in the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, the seven laws of Noah, which was given to non-Jews. But the command to observe Shabbat, to be Shomer Shabbat, to be Shabbat observant, which is one of the Ten Commandments, was given specifically only to Jews as a sign of the covenant between Hashem and B'nai Israel, the children of Israel. Non-Jews are not allowed to keep Shabbat according to Jewish law, because the Sabbath, because the Sabbath, how it's observed according to Jewish law, according to Halakha, was given to the Jewish people as a sign of the covenant, as a sign of the very covenant. So the Ten Commandments, first of all, were given specifically to the Jews. The Shabbat Mitzvah B'nai Noach, the seven laws of Noah, was given to mankind. Now that's number one. Number two, also, as I said, these people who say, who quote the don't murder part of the Ten Commandments and say, see, aha, the Bible is anti-death penalty. You know, the same source that brought out the Ten Commandments, you know, when after Noah got out of the ark, you want to know, that very same source also says, Shafek Sama Adam, Ba Adam Damo Yeshafek. Yeshafek. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man's house blood be shed. So it's basically saying that the crime of murder is that people who engage in murder, that murder is liable, that it's basically saying that murderers are higher liable to the death penalty. This idea that the Torah is like anti-death penalty, the same way liberals are, is ridiculous. Just wanted to address that. But as I was saying, you know, to what my view, I think raping 11 to 14 year old girls is a form of bloodshed. I mean, it may not literally be murdering them, but it's within that category of murder. I mean, it's such a violent crime, and therefore I think that rapists, again, people who rape girls who are like 11 to 14 or within that age range people who rape 11 to 14-year-old girls or girls within that age range or girls younger than 11 to 14, you know, I think people who rape girls who are 11 to 14, or who are younger than 11, or who are younger than 11, or who are within the age range, people who do that, rapists who do that, in my view, deserve the death penalty. But the politically correct leftists are like, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. Would you want to be the one killing them? Yes, I would. I'd gladly look. I mean, I'm a young guy. I'm not married. I don't have any kids yet. But if it was my daughters who were being raped like that, you know what I'd do? I'd find where the racists live, and I'd take a gun. I'd beat the shit out of those racists, and I'd shoot them. You know? I would want to do that, at least. So, yes, I have no problem putting these Muslim men who rape 11 to 14-year-old girls before a firing squad and shooting them. I have no problem doing that, if you want my viewpoint. I mean, then again, I think nobody should take pride in killing violent people. Nobody should take pride in killing. I mean, because I think people who take pride in killing I think it really brings out the worst in them. Even if it's, you know, even if it's killing a bad guy, and even if it's, and even if it's killing somebody who deserves the death penalty, I think, you know, taking pleasure in it, I think really can bring out the worst in us too. I mean, I will admit that. I mean, meditating on hatred of even the most evil people, I think, really brings so much negative energy. I mean, so I think, you know, so no, I'm not saying to go around meditating on hatred of evil all day. You should hate evil to the point where it causes you to fight evil and do good. Not just, I hate evil and I'm going to meditate on hating evil. No, that brings out the negative and the worst in people. I just want to say that. But when it comes to hating evil to the point where speak out for what's right and you promote what's right, you should hate evil to that extent. To that extent. And even though, no, you should not take pleasure in killing people even if they deserve it, there are, I think, violent criminals like people who rape 11 to 14-year-old girls deserve a death penalty. And as I said, the Torah, in certain cases, mandates the death penalty. The idea of, oh, the Ten Commandments, they don't murder. You know, that's cherry picking. That's cherry picking. You're just taking what you like and leaving what you don't like. You know, I can bring up plenty of I can bring up plenty of verses from the Torah that you won't like, and you'll leave them. But when it comes to, like, the Ten Commandments saying don't murder, you'll interpret it in such a way that even forbids the death penalty when, you know, when you look at other places and you can find the Torah mandates the death penalty. The Torah says, Shafek dam, a'adam, ba'adam, dam, yeshafek. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And that wasn't given specifically to Jewish people. That was given to Noah and his descendants. And that's the pasuk in the Torah that basically bans murder according to the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. That's the verse that's used. That's the verse that Hashem says when he was laying out the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, the seven laws of Noah. And, you know, and it shows. Following God is not only a Jewish thing. It's not only something that was given to the Jewish people. Non-Jews, too, also have a moral code to live up to. The seven laws of Noah. And non-Jews who observe the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach also are helping to bring the Shekhinah, God's presence, down. And they're helping to bring about world peace, and they're helping to bring about the age of Mashiach as a Messiah. Now, again, I know I went on a tangent, but the situation in the UK, where for years, girls 11 to 14 have been raped, and still there's this whole, oh, they're trying to strike a balance. As I said, when you turn a blind eye to 11 to 14-year-old girls being raped, and when you say to a woman, oh, you need sensitivity training because that woman brings it up, that goes way beyond too far. It's about time. I mean, look, I understand it's hate speech, and I'm against bigotry and racism. But I understand they are racist, bigoted movements in the UK, like the British National Party. I mean, you know, yeah, the biggest, the European xenophobes who hate immigrants are there. And I think that, well, as a Jew, I have to think that Jews find themselves in the middle, because on the one hand is the radical Muslim attackers, And basically, like, the radical Muslim attacks on Jews and the far left and the politically correct establishment excusing those attacks, blaming Israel and blaming Israel's quote-unquote occupation. And on the other side is the group of, like, neo-Nazi xenophobes who want to ban circumcision, who want to ban ritual slaughter, which means banning kosher slaughter. And, you know, and, yeah, and they basically want to ban and they basically are going against freedom of religion, and they want to ban, you know, like Jewish religious observance. So, you know, so Jews in Europe find themselves in the middle between these two groups. I mean, that's my view. But because when it comes to, because ironically, when it comes to the issue of ritual slaughter, Jews and Muslims actually find themselves on the same side of the coin. Because, you know, there was this move to ban ritual slaughter based on the erroneous notion that stunning is more humane. This idea where, like, you like give an electric shock to, like, an animal's brain and say that that's more humane than killing the animal. Like, this erroneous idea, you know. I mean, based on that erroneous idea, these neo-Nazi xenophobes over in Europe want to ban kosher and ritual slaughter. Never mind that shahita, the kosher slaughtering method, it is more humane. Because actually, like, you know, it's just a quick knife cutting the animal's throat, and the animal barely feels anything. And plus, you know, it involves draining out the blood. I mean, shahita, according to the Torah, is the most humane method, and it's still the most humane method. I mean, this idea that, this erroneous idea that stunning, that giving the animal an electric shock and that's more humane, that, like, basically, like, frying the animal's brain is now more humane. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. That's what we have. We have, like, these Muslim Brotherhood and radical Muslims on one side and the left shielding them. Then you have the some of the xenophobes who are basically, you know, who are going to be benefiting from, like, who are going to be benefiting from political correctness run amok. Because, you know, if people are going to be such cowards, and then you see, like, I mean, we need more people who are not bigots addressing this problem. Because if not, then the bigots in Europe are going to be the ones who are going to be getting more support. Because they'll be the only ones who are addressing this problem. I mean, that's the whole issue here. That's the whole issue here. Anyway, well, as I was saying, I think I already said my message enough. You see, these, like I already mentioned yesterday, I think a case of, I think a Muslim man, an 18-year-old Muslim male one time was, he raped a 13-year-old girl, and then what happened was he was saying, oh, he was taught in his madrasa that women are nothing more than lollipops. And then he said, oh, I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to have sex with, like, a 13-year-old girl. That, you know, and all, you know, it's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. Like, it'll be all ridiculous. And then, you know, and the judge treats him with kid gloves because, I mean, this 18-year-old Muslim so-called man, you know, basically said, oh, well, you know, well, I initially was reluctant to have sex with some 13-year-old girl, but she seduced me, and that's why. And I was unable to basically to not have sex with her. Really? I mean, what type of a man are you? I mean, if that's really the case, what type of a man are you? Like, you can't say no to a 13-year-old girl who supposedly wants to have sex with you. And, you know, and frankly, I don't even believe that she did want to have sex with him. But the judge, you know, in treating my kid gloves, said, well, even though I'm sure that the girl was more than happy to have sex with you, we still have this law to protect girls to protect young girls at that age, because, you know, because 13 is not an age where you can consent to sex. And rightly so, it should not be an age where you can consent to sex. But nevertheless, when the judge even saying, I'm sure she was more than happy to want to have sex with you, I mean, you know, it's another example. And, you know the judge who said that putting this 18-year-old Muslim man in jail would do more harm than good,
there's a stupid story that he came out with. You know, I mean, it's an example of just treating these Muslim rapists with kid gloves. And then basically, you know, when the judge even said, I'm sure she was more than happy to have sex with you, and, you know, and like I said yesterday, I call bullshit on that. I really do call bullshit on that. I mean, a 13-year-old girl, like, she herself said that, like, that the 18-year-old man, that the 18-year-old cell phone man, excuse me, went to the bathroom, put a condom on himself, and then started having sex. So this claim that the 13-year-old girl seduced him, and he couldn't help himself. It's a bunch of bullshit. I don't even believe that she consented, to be honest. I think it's a bunch of bullshit. I don't think she, quote-unquote, consented. It's a bunch of bullshit. It really is. It makes no sense. Because of show what types of men these people are. I mean, even if that stupid story is true, are you going to tell me that you're really unable to say no to a 13-year-old girl who is supposedly trying to seduce you? You're really unable to resist that so-called temptation? I mean, it's ridiculous. I feel insulted that you're even the same gender as me. I really do. When radical Muslims rape women, there should be two crimes. There should be two penalties. Deportation or death. That's my view. Deportation or death. It's about time the UK at the police and the establishment suddenly man up and start saying, you know, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. About time that happened. So sick and tired of, like, now people's feelings are more important than the safety of little girls who get raped by these radical Muslim so-called men. People's feelings are now more important. I'm just hating my feelings. Yeah, listen, I don't really care what you stupid crybabies say. I really don't care. I really don't care. The police in the UK should be ashamed of themselves. I hope that all the police officers and everybody who look the other way while these girls are getting raped, I hope their careers get destroyed. I really hope their careers get destroyed. Shame on you. Shame on you. If you were to look the other way while little girls were getting raped, just so that you don't get called racist or Islamophobic, or so that you can feel good about yourself because you think you're being tolerant. You don't deserve to feel good about yourselves. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. That's all I can say. Shame on you. Shame on you. I believe I'm in the archive right now, so these wimpy police officers and these wimpy establishment people, I mean, well, not in the UK, they have a law that doctors and social workers can't, that doctors and social workers have to report well, as I was, I'm sorry about the dead air. Be right back. Sorry about the dead air. Anyway, just have something to take care of. I don't have any audio files, unfortunately, but anyways, I was saying, you know, well, I'm in the archive right now before I hang up. In the UK right now, they have a law that doctors and social workers have to report a rape or a sexual assault when it's clear to them, when they see that it's a rape or a sexual assault, that they can't look the other way as what they've been doing during this film for years while these 11 to 14-year-old girls were raped by radical Muslim men, so then they don't seem Islamophobic or racist. And they want to, and you know, they want to feel good about themselves, show how tolerant they are. But you know what? You're going to tolerate girls that young getting raped. Shame on you. That's all I have to say. Shame, shame, shame. I hope the police and everybody who looked the other way have their careers destroyed. They should be fired, and they should be put in jail, and their careers destroyed, and they should be trashed in the media. And this behavior, people should be deploring this. All I say to those people who look it away is, shame on you. And with that, we're out.